Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to Bible Sunshine. Here we are for a new three-day segment of studying God's Word together, and we continue our study in Joshua chapter 9. So I hope you'll open your Bibles there or find Joshua chapter 10. I hope you'll find that on your Bible today and follow along as we study God's Word together. Let's go to prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word today. Father, thank You for Your love and mercy. Thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we have the privilege to freely open Your Word and study it. I pray, Lord, for those believers around the world who cannot freely open Your Word because there is pressure, there's persecution, or they don't have a copy of the Scriptures. I pray, Lord, give them access online or through some means, on the internet, on printed page. Somehow give them access to Your Word and help us to appreciate the access we have. Bless us as we study now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been looking at Joshua chapter 10, and I would like to read a passage starting with verse 28. Joshua 10, starting with verse 28. On that day, Joshua took Makkeda and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them. Now, you can take note of this phrase, utterly destroyed. It's a very particular Hebrew word, and Joshua uses it over and over. He utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it. He let none remain. He also did to the king of Makkeda as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkeda and all Israel with him to Libna, and they fought against Libna. And the Lord also delivered it and its king into the hand of Israel. He struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword. He let none remain in it, but did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him to Lachish, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, who took it on the second day and struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done to Libna. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people until he left none remaining. From Lachish, Joshua passed to Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. They took it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. All the people who were in it, he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Then Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him to Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and struck it with the edge of the sword, its king, all its cities, and all the people who were in it. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but utterly destroyed it and all the people who were in it. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir, and they fought against it. And he took it and its king and all its cities. They struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the people who were in it. He left none remaining. As he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir and its king, as he had done also to Libna and its king. So Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country and the south, or the Negev, and the lowland and the wilderness slopes and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And Joshua conquered them from Kadesh Barnea as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. All these kings and their land Joshua took at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Now, we keep reminding ourselves that Joshua is a book about military conquest. We might look at this and think, what is this? All this destruction of human life. Well, it was God's command under his rule and his leadership to go into the land and conquer the pagan peoples and wipe out the idolatrous practices that were there. So this indeed was holy war from the God of the Bible, from the one true God. Last time we were on the observation stage, and I believe we had looked at question number 8. What is going on here? Harmonize. Joshua spoke to the Lord with sun stand still. Let's go on to question 9. List all the references in this chapter to the Lord fighting for Israel. I think we left off on that. Just quickly notice this. If you can let your eye go through, or maybe you found them yourself already. I hope so. Chapter 10, verse 8. I have delivered them into your hand. Verse 10. The Lord routed, killed, chased, struck them. Verse 11, the Lord cast down large hailstones. Verse 12, the Lord delivered. Verse 14, the Lord fought for Israel. Verse 19, the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Verse 25, thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Verse 30, the Lord also delivered it and its king. Verse 32, the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel. Verse 42, the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. So these were God's battles. Joshua was a tool, an instrument. He was the commander of the army of the Lord, but the Lord of hosts was the true warrior, the true commander, and he is fighting for the nation of Israel to make these spiritual conquests and these military conquests, wiping out pagan cities that were involved in idolatry. Well, let's go to question number 10 from verses 16 to 27. Describe what happened to the five Amorite kings. So we go back to verse 18. It says, so Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. All right, so look back to verse 16. These five kings, remember they had come against Gibeon. Gibeon said to Joshua, you got to help us. So Joshua did. And here are these five kings. They had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkedah. It was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave. So what did Joshua say to do in verse 18? He said, roll stones, large stones against the mouth of the cave. So they were imprisoned because guards were also set there. Notice verse 22. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. So they were released from the cave, but only for this, verse 23. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, brought them out for what? Verse 24. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near, put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua struck them and killed them and then hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. This is gruesome. This is warfare. So they were imprisoned in a cave, verse 18. They were released, verse 22. Their necks were stepped on, verse 24. Joshua killed them, verse 26. And then they were impaled on trees. in verse 27, so it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. So their dead bodies were placed back in the caves. They were buried there, and that would be a sign to other enemies of what Israel did to the enemies of God. It was a gruesome picture, but in God's economy, it was something that was necessary. You see, what is at stake here is the preservation of the knowledge of the true God. What is at stake here is the holiness of God and the nation of God, that is the Israelites, being preserved from polytheism and from idolatry and from evil. It was such a temptation to them, and it still continued to be even after God gave this powerful commentary on what he thought about that sort of behavior. It is a frightful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. It's a fearful thing. And our God is a consuming fire. That's told to us in the New Testament. So we need to take heed. Our nation, our culture needs to take heed. You violate God's ways, it will not be without consequences. So these five kings met their demise here. Well, verses 24 and 25, what did Joshua ask the captains to do? What did he tell them? Well, he told them to put their feet on the necks of the kings. He told them to not be afraid, to be strong, because God would so do to all their enemies. When they were obedient to the Lord and cooperated with him, there would be victory over the enemies. I can't help but add an application here and a correlation from 1 John, if God be for us, or from Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? From 1 John, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Can a believer, a Christian, a child of God, have victory over the enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Can we have enemies over this three-part evil triumvirate that wants to attack us and bring us down and confuse us? Can we have spiritual victory today? Yes, we can. If God be for us, who can be against us? Maybe you're struggling with something in a Christian life. You're struggling with some habit, some sin pattern. Do not believe the devil's lies that it's hopeless, that you have to give in, that you always have to do that because it's just the way it is and you are helpless. No, Jesus died on the cross. He rose again from the grave, and faith in him is victory that overcomes the world. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. We can have spiritual victory. So Joshua said, just like we're doing to these kings, so God will do to your enemies. Be strong, be of courage, and stand strong in the power of the Lord. Well, let's go to question number 12 from verses 28 to 43. And we read those earlier. Trace the concept of letting none remain in these verses. You heard that over and over as I read those verses, letting none remain. So let's just go back and list them quickly. And this is what you can do is you study the scripture, go through and note details, repeating phrases. Verse 28 about Makeda, he let none remain. Verse 30, Libna, he let none remain. Verse 33, Horam, king of Gezer, he left none remaining. Verse 37, Hebron, he left none remaining. Verse 39, Debir, he left none remaining. Verse 40, the mountain country, the south, the Negev, the lowland, the wilderness slopes, he left none remaining. So very important phrase here in the book of Joshua that God did not leave the enemies to remain. Now, related to that is another word, and it was also repeated in some of the verses with some of the cities. And it's this phrase, utterly destroyed. In the Hebrew, it's one word. It's the Hebrew word charam, charam. And it means to devote to complete destruction, as given over to the Lord. So it's given over to the Lord to be completely destroyed. It's a very serious word here in the book of Joshua. And go back to verse 28. It's spoken of Machidah. It says, he utterly destroyed them. In verse 35, it's spoken of Eglon. He utterly destroyed. There is another phrase here. Not only he left none remaining, and not only utterly destroyed, but we haven't traced this, but also look at edge of the sword. You'll notice how the sword was so common. Verse 37, the city of Hebron. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but utterly destroyed it and all the people who were in it. It was devoted to the Lord and to destruction, given over to complete destruction as if it were an offering to the Lord. And verse 39, we have it of Debir as well, utterly destroyed. And verse 40, Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country, the south, the lowland, the wilderness slopes, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. Strong words. And let me also, if this gives you heartburn, it gives you concern. Well, I thought God was loving. Absolutely, he is. But God is a God of justice. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus is shown to be the lamb, but he's also shown to be the lion. And Jesus is going to come back. There's going to be the battle of Armageddon, and his enemies will be destroyed. God is a God full of love and God full of justice. Jesus was full of grace and truth. If we will not receive his love and his grace, then we will face the harsh realities of his truth and his judgment. You see, Jesus took the judgment on himself on the cross. But if we refuse that, we will take it ourselves. I trust if you've not believed in Jesus to save you, that you will do that today. You will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sin, the hell that we deserved. He took it on himself as our substitute. If we will trust in him, rely on him, we can be saved and not face the wrath of God. Well, just one more thing here, and that is verses 40 to 43. I said here, look at a Bible map and trace Joshua's campaign. I want to challenge you before tomorrow to look at a Bible map or Google Joshua's southern campaign and see what you can find. But on the back of your Bible, there's probably a good map. Look at the 12 tribes of Israel or the allotments of the tribes and see if you can find the Dead Sea and then look to the left of that and see how many of these cities you can find. Well, let's go to prayer today. There are two countries that we want to pray for. The first is a Central American country of Guatemala. I have been enjoying some coffee from Guatemala, good coffee from there. But sadly, it is a country in great need, about 18 million people there. But listen to this prayer request. Violence is a present-day plague caused by the upheaval and ruin of the last few decades. Murder is common and life is cheap. Guatemala has the highest murder rate in all Latin America. Many causes, gangs, drug traffickers, organized crimes, and so on. So let's pray against this evil of murder in that land and pray for soldiers with the preparation of the gospel of peace on their feet to go. I'm talking about Christian soldiers with the good news of the gospel that brings peace. Pray that God uses Christians and missionaries to spread the gospel there, that it would make a difference in Guatemala. The other country we want to go to is Guinea. Guinea is a country in West Africa. It borders on Sierra Leone, on Mali, on Senegal. And so here's a prayer request for Guinea. Leadership training for pastors and laymen is a great need. And then these solemn words from Operation World. Guinea remains largely unreached. Despite increased missionary activity, most peoples remain a pioneer challenge. So we want to pray for the land of Guinea and that God will multiply workers there. The gospel will penetrate the darkness. Dear Father, we thank you so much that you are Lord of heaven and earth. And we come before you today praying the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into Guatemala. We pray, Lord, that the Christians that are there, the missionaries that are there, that you will multiply their influence and send more to them. Send laborers there. And we pray that you will bless the scriptures that are present, the ministries that are present, that are faithfully teaching the gospel. Lord, I pray that people in leadership of these drug cartels and gangs, that they will be changed by the gospel of peace, that they will come to know Jesus and put down their evil ways, their murderous ways, and follow after Christ with all their hearts and spread the peace of Christ to others. And dear Father, we pray for the country of Guinea in West Africa. We pray, Lord, that you will provide leadership training for pastors. Send missionaries there. We pray, dear God, that those who are there will be effective, that they will penetrate the spiritual darkness, that you will push back the powers of the evil one by the power of the Word of God and the message of the resurrected Christ. Lord, do a mighty work in Guinea, and those Christians who are there, give them strength, give them scriptures, help them, Lord, to be strong in the Lord, to stand for you. Thank you, Lord, that you are alive and work today. Do a mighty work here in the United States of America. Oh God, turn hearts to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friend. I'm glad you're back today on Bible Sunshine, and I hope you'll join us tomorrow, and may God's love surround you all this day.